The bread of the communion is pierced, it's crucified. That's why we can eat it. It's poured out, it's broken. And it's the presence of God that is now coming to be my life. So when we read in chapter 6 of John's Gospel, he says here, verse 53, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." And here you've got the mystery of the bread and the wine explained, is that the mystery of the bread and wine in the communion is eating and drinking the actual real presence of Jesus. Now, put these two truths together. When you look at Hebrews chapter 10, we've got the power of the blood presented in heaven. And now we've got the power of the blood bringing the very forgiveness, purging, and the very doorway. All these things are being brought to us now in the very presence of God. When we receive the presence of God, as we open our hearts, the presence of God brings to us all the glory and the power of the covenant of God. Just turn with me a moment to Luke's Gospel now, chapter 22. And again, we're back on covenant, new covenant ground. He goes to the upper room. And then in verse 15, he says this. He says, Luke 22:15, "When the hour had come," verse 14, "he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, 'With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God,'" which is, of course, the day of Pentecost. "Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this, divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.'" And remember, Jesus came to bring the kingdom. He said, "It's near." And then he said, "There are some here who shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." And Jesus drank the fruit of the vine with them in the resurrection, in the baptism in the Spirit. When he poured out the Holy Spirit, he was drinking and he was giving to them to drink the fruit of the vine. Verse 19, "He took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Likewise also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" And here you've got this moment when Jesus is seated round the table with his 12 apostles, and he's inaugurating now the symbol of his church, the symbol of his kingdom. And he's saying, "Look, this is it. This is what the church is going to be. This is the new covenant. It's going to be, when you meet, I am going to pour into you life, presence." When the church meets, we meet under a ministry, not just of a taste. You know that when we take the communion, sometimes It's slightly misleading because, especially nowadays, you have a tiny little cup and a tiny little bit of bread that melts on your tongue. It's not even real bread most of the time, and you put it in your tongue and it didn't even taste it. But, you know, I've been to a church in Cameroon where they had, I think last time I was there, it was about 1,000 people, and they had communion. And they had loaves, big, big loaves of bread, and they broke it, and they said, now you have a big lumpy, and they'd give it, now you can drink, you really drink from it. And they really made you feel as if you'd had a good drink of this. And it was, in as much as it was the generosity of this. When we meet as churches and as we meet in fellowship, we're meeting under the great ministry of Christ to feed us and give us. It's the swirling, the flowing, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Christ is pouring out fullness on his people. Remember, the mark of the Holy Spirit and the mark of the ministry of Christ is abundance. He's not saying, now, come on, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Oh, careful, it's got to go round. You know, he's not saying that. He's saying, come on, drink. You can drink and he can drink at the same time. She can drink. They can all drink at the same time. This cup is big enough. You can drink and drink and drink and drink. Go on, he says, get drunk on the Holy Spirit. And of course, that's what's happened on the day of Pentecost. They all drank so they were breathless with the wonder of God's fullness flowing over them. That was the communion. When we celebrate the communion, we shouldn't just be saying, oh, I'm getting right with God again. No, no, this is the abundant feast. You know, it's like if you go to a wedding feast and they say, well, there's 3,000 guests and there's one pizza. You know, and you've got to all be careful. And there's one bottle of Coca-Cola. So take a tiny sip, or don't even sip it. Just make it, you know. That's all you need to do. Yeah. No, this is a wedding feast. Jesus says, come on, this is the bride and the bridegroom. Come on, this is lavish. This is my son's wedding. Now, you know, when my daughters get married, they want dad to give them a proper wedding. So we're saving up already. But you know what I mean? People want weddings to be tremendous, a celebration. Well, this is the wedding of his son. There's abundance. This is the great feast of the Lord. It's his wedding feast. And you know that his ministry began at a wedding, and his ministry will end at a wedding. When we get to heaven, that's when the whole thing will be brought to the fullness, and there we will see the whole. It starts at a wedding, it ends at a wedding. When we meet and preach the gospel and evangelize, it's a wedding. This should be the joy of a wedding. Well, let's go back to John for a moment, because then just one more truth, and then I want us to, we'll stop after this next point. But in chapter 6, go back there, because in John 6, he says something that could make you think, well, what does he mean by that? Verse 44, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And so he goes on. Now, what he's saying here is that this dimension is not something you can learn naturally. You know, we've talked about eating and drinking. It's a world that naturally we cannot know what to do. If I said to you, look, this new covenant's easy. All you've got to do is go and sit down and just imagine you're eating. Well, that wouldn't really help you. The key here is that the covenant is not ministered by natural man, by natural means. I wish it could be possible, but it can't. In other words, It's ministered by God himself.